Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Psalm 33:1. I will sing unto the Lord. A benefit concert is being presented on Saturday, September 21st, 2019 at 5 p.m. at the Oaks Theater in Oakmont. Come join us for a time of fellowship and fun as we praise the Lord. Our guests are the Bethany Jazz Band, Heavenly Hands, the Bethany Young Adult Choir, Allegheny Center Alliance Children's Choir, Macedonia Baptist Mime, St. Paul Baptist Choir, Joanne Owens as Ms. Esmeralda, Eastminster Presbyterian Children's Choir, the Williams Sisters, Kevin Smith. Also, there will be a silent auction and vendors, including the Shawl Project and Anchored in Jesus Ministries. Proceeds benefit the Bethany Community Youth Program. For more information, you can contact Bethany Baptist Church at 412-242-3255 or the Oaks Theater at 412-828-6322. Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Personal Discipline, the Mind. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Personal Discipline, the Mind.
With all that God has done for you, man, there should be no issue with you giving to the Lord. If you're sitting there, man, and you're struggling and you are holding back and you are not giving to the Lord, man, you got some spiritual problems. Man, you will go to a secular counselor and you will pay $100 an hour to have a session with a secular counselor. And yet and still, God is one that's with you all night long. You're able to walk with him and talk with him. He's able to work you through situations. He's able to give you joy in your heart. He's able to lift the depression off your spirit. And you think that the secular counselor is worth more than the great counselor, than the omnipotent counselor. I don't understand that. Man, I ought to be given just because God is keeping me from other areas. Now, I'm not, some people, and you know who you are, some people are not on medication today because they trusted God. Now, I'm not saying stop taking medication. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying some people have got better through the Spirit because God has uplifted them. And so the money that they could have been given to the medicine, man. That's my sermon this year on giving. Somebody said, every time I come to church, you're talking about giving. Well, you must only come about once a year. Man, God has given us a delivered mind. And man, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but there is no price that you can pay for a peace of mind. You know, you come off your hip and dish out and try to, you know, pay from a worldly standpoint. And you know, some of these things, you know, they comfort temporarily. But God says, I give you peace. I give you a peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because your mind has been delivered. And that's not to say we don't have struggles, because we still do have struggles. But praise God that we have a delivered mind. Let me read verse 2 again. This is a powerful verse. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That every day you ought to be in the Word of God, renewing your mind. The third thing that we see is a disciplined mind. A disciplined mind. 1 Peter. And I've been quoting this verse throughout this series. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. And Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. And I have given the illustration how that in biblical times, the men would wear those long flowing tunics. And that as they walked along, their tunics would kind of flow in the wind. And if they ever had to get in a hurry and they didn't want to be flapping, they didn't want their tunic to be flapping in the wind, what they would do is take a rope and they would pull it up in front and they would tie it and they would draw it in so that it wasn't flapping in the wind, slowing them down. Peter says, don't let your mind flap in the wind. Gird it up. You rein in those loose thoughts. Just don't let them take you. Let me show you how powerful the mind is. The evolutionists, now they say that they've made a discovery today that is the missing link, all right? Well, we've heard that before. They found a jawbone in Nebraska. And out of their imagination, they concocted a man out of a jawbone, all right? Not only did they call it Nebraska man, they not only concocted Nebraska man, but then they made Miss Nebraska man. And then they made Nebraska children. Y'all seen them in your science books at school. They showed Nebraska man and his family from one bone. And then they found out that it was the jawbone of a pig. Man, you got to bring your mind in. You can't just let your mind flap in the wind. Because if you do, it'll take you places where God never intended for you to go. You know, I told you about the guy, and I know I've said it before, but I like giving this illustration, right? I told you about the guy who had a girlfriend, and she didn't even know that she was his girlfriend, right? Each day by my window, I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy. To have a girl like her is truly a dream come true. And out of all the fellas in the world, she belongs to you. But it was just my imagination. It was just my imagination running away with me. Your mind will take you places. It will take you places. And you know, the sad thing about this song, as I looked at it, is that he brought God in on this. I never realized this when I was in the world listening to this song. He brought God in on it. He said, every night, on my knees I pray, dear Lord, hear my plea. Never let another take her love from me, for I would surely die. The man brought God in on his overactive imagination. What did this guy need? I mean, I know it's a song, and they would just—I understand all that. But let's do a quick counseling session, right? Let's analyze this guy. What did he need? He needed to discipline his thoughts, right? You need to discipline your thoughts, man, and you need to realize that you just can't let your, as Peter said, you just can't let your thoughts flap in the wind. That when you begin to go down that road, you got to gird it up. You got to bring it back and not let it run off with you. Don't let your imagination run away with you. And then the fourth characteristic of a biblical mind is what I call a dominated mind. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 8, a dominated mind. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Your mind is to be dominated. Your mind is to be saturated with the Word of God. We live in a world where we have to interact with the world. That is all the more reason why our minds should be saturated with the Word of God. You know, I started doing something on Wednesdays in Bible study. Every Wednesday, we're memorizing the scripture. We repeat it 5 times because we need to get the Word of God in our mind. That we ought to have a disciplined regimen of memorizing scripture. Somebody said, well, you know, the older I get, the harder it gets for me. Well, see, you there you go, right there. Let's see. Your mind needs to be delivered. You know, if you have a hard time memorizing scripture, just go to, what is it, John 11:25? Jesus wept. I memorized the scripture this week, right? You need to get the Word of God in your mind. You know, and again, sometimes you're not going to memorize. You know, I realized that. I was making fun a little earlier, right? But seriously, that, you know, I realized because I'm experiencing it myself, right? You know, the older you get, I mean, it's harder. Man, I can, when I first got saved, I can go back and quote just about every verse that I memorized when I first got saved. I memorized Isaiah 53. I memorized the Sermon on the Mount. I memorized Hebrews chapter 12. And pretty much for most of the part, I can sit down and I can kind of go through those scriptures, those big passages that I remember. But, you know, to sit down and memorize a whole one now, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. But, you know, sometimes when I'm on the elliptical machine and I have my smartphone and I might have my headphone in, you know, these smart devices, most of us got Bibles on there. And I just put the scripture right there while I'm on the machine listening to my music, and the scripture is right there. And I'm just trying to get it in my heart, get the Word of God. We've got to let the Word of God dominate our lives when we can, because there's so many opportunities for us not to be in the Word of God that we got to take every opportunity to be in the Word of God. So you got to have a dominated mind. The Word of God has to dominate your mind. Now, I'm going to try to go through this last part pretty quick. But I just felt that I needed to put this in here because some people have strongholds in their mind. And we need to understand that God has given us a way to deal with the strongholds in our mind. So I'm going to ask that you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And Paul gives us a powerful word picture. Powerful. I mean, powerful word. And the more I studied this, the more I just was floored by what Paul put into these couple verses of scripture right here. In verse 4, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Strongholds in the Bible. Let me do a 1-minute teaching on strongholds in the Bible. Whenever ancient cities were built, the first thing that was constructed was the wall with its towers. This was done so that the city would be protected. Then in this wall, there were high towers built at strategic points in the wall so that they could see those who were coming, approaching the city, especially if an enemy was coming. And you can read about that in Isaiah 2:15, the first one, Nehemiah 1:6. Where he went back and he just built the wall around the city. And then men would climb into the towers and position themselves to be able to shout instructions to people on the ground. And this is what's known as a stronghold. If you go to the next picture, this is a stronghold right here. This is what Paul's talking about, a stronghold. You'll notice the wall around the city protecting it. You'll notice the strategic places around the wall where they have towers, where there's men in the towers looking out, giving warning when the enemy is approaching. And so Paul, he takes this word picture and he likens it to the mind. And he said that you have these in your mind. You may have the stronghold of lust in your mind. You may have the stronghold of greed in your mind. You may have the stronghold of anger in your mind. You may have the stronghold of, envy, jealousy, strife. You may have a stronghold in your mind. You're sitting there today. Is there a stronghold? Maybe there's something that happened and you can't let it go. It's a stronghold in your mind. Maybe it's something that you deal with every day on a daily basis. It's a stronghold in your mind. Notice what he says. He says to cast them down. You got to cast them down. So if you'll go to that next slide, you have to demolish the strongholds in your mind. In verse 4, he uses the term, the phrase, pulling down strongholds. Used in today's term will refer to tearing down walls with a wrecking ball. That these strongholds, these fortresses that are built up in your mind, Paul says, get a wrecking ball and smash them to the ground. Demolishing strongholds. And not only that, but he continues the word picture. And he tells us how to do it. Step one, the first step in demolishing the stronghold. You got to pull down the wall and the towers. Look what he says in verse 5. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That you got to pull down the wall. You got to tear it down, whatever it is. You got to fight against it. Yeah, I remember one time I felt that I was having a struggle with slothfulness. And I went and I did one of these searches through the Bible and pulled up every scripture on slothfulness. And just began every morning, just began to read these scriptures. Every morning, just looking at them. Sometimes I didn't get through all of them, sometimes I only got to one. But you gotta, I was trying to fight against that spirit. You gotta pull it down. You just can't let it sit there. Because what happens? You know, when there's one place that said, don't let the devil get a foothold in your mind. Because why? When he gets a foothold, what does he do? He brings all his demonic forces and they set up in your mind. And that's why, you know, people become serial killers, and that's why they become rapists. And that's why, why? Because Satan has set up something in their mind. You can't let those thoughts develop in your mind. You got to tear them down before they grab a hold of you. You know, you see so many people around us that are dealing with strongholds in the mind. And God says, tear them down. You got to cast down imaginations. And you know this word imagination? You know, it's a very interesting word. It comes from the Greek word logizomai. You know what it means? Logical reasoning in a person's mind. So, see, sometimes we logically reason that the way we feel and the way we think is right. We logically come to that conclusion. And it's wrong. And Paul says, tear it down. He says, tear it down. Don't let it grow. You know, y'all remember that song, I Shot the Sheriff, right? What did that guy say? Every time I plant a seed, he say what? Kill it before it grows. Kill it before it grows. Brothers and sisters, you got to kill those thoughts before they grow. And then if they start to grow, you got to pull them down. The second thing, step two. So what they would do is you remember back in, they would have them battering rams, right? Trying to knock the wall down. So they're trying to tear the wall down, okay? And then what do? Once they knock the wall down, they took everybody captive. Look what it says here. Like I said, this word picture is just, I mean, it's astounding. He says, casting down, that's the idea of breaking down the wall, breaking down the outside, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And look at this. Look at the language. And bringing into captivity. So when you knocked the wall down, what did you do with the people? You held them captive. You captured them. Paul says to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So if I'm having some bad thoughts, see, that's why. Oh, man. When I was dealing with that issue on slothfulness, right? The minute that you start to feel, submit it to the word. Bring up that scripture. Quote that scripture. Bring it in. How does this line up with what God says? How does this line up with what the word of God says? Bringing every imagination, every thought, lining it up with what the word of God says. And if it's not lining up with the word, tear it down. Tear it down. Bring in the captivity. They would capture the slaves, or they would capture the citizens of that stronghold. And then, the final thing, because there would be some that were disobedient and rebellious. And what did they do with the rebellious and disobedient? They executed them. They executed them. Look what he says in verse 6. Now, he's talking about the mind, right? And having a readiness to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He said you should have a readiness to execute the rebels, execute the disobedient thoughts. You got to fight against them. You got to kill them. You can't let them be there. You can't let them overtake you. You know, people just begin to think, and their thoughts take them to places where now they got other people doing stuff against them. Their thoughts take them to places where now they got issues with something that's not even there. Why? Because their thoughts have taken them there. Paul says, be ready to avenge all disobedience. Be ready to execute every thought that does not line up with what God is saying. You got to kill it. You got to kill it. You can't let it stay there. You got to kill it for your own spiritual life. You got to kill it for your own health. You got to do away with it. And this is how we discipline our mind. God has said a lot about our mind, and we need to heed and submit our mind to him. You know, as I close, you know, we just think about, you know, how that, you know, we said the biblical mind, you know, and what is that biblical mind? It's a devoted mind. It's a delivered mind. It's a disciplined mind, and it's a dominant. God has called us to have a different mind.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time as we begin a new series titled, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues, with the first half of Loneliness. Is Loneliness Your Best Friend? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Personal Discipline, the Mind, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Personal Discipline, the Mind. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Personal Discipline, the Mind. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.